We have been in the book of John for the last 2 months, or you know, month and a half now, and we've been encountering glory, you know, John, the book of glory, and just discovering, well, how do we encounter glory in that space? Like, what is it to encounter glory? And I got, you know, everyone else has had like a whole chapter. I got two verses. But it's the two verses that have become known in John as the purpose of the book. Like, that's the little title they get in your Bible often. And sometimes we might kind of think, well, you know, why were four different books written to unpack the life of Jesus? You know, why were they all included in the Bible? But when we read them and look at them, like, each of them has a very distinctive character that takes it beyond being just a historical record. Like, the Bible's not just being, it's not about being historical. Like, it's got more to it than just kind of letting us know, well, this is what happened. And so each of those books has something within it to take us to that different level. Because God wanted as many people as possible to connect with his story, to be able to work out their place in his story. And so he wanted to unpack that as many ways as he could. And John writes it really plainly in his two verses in John 20, verse 30 and 31. He said, Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. How cool is that? Like these things that John wrote about, these are written that you may believe. Like, that's John's heart. I just want you to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, that he's it, that he is the Son of God. And when you believe that, guess what? You'll get life. That was all John wanted to do. The end purpose is life, and it comes through Jesus. And so when we look over, you know, this book of John, and we've actually only done the second half, we've only been looking at that 1 week leading up to Jesus' death and resurrection. So, you know, there's a whole lot more in John. There's another 11 chapters before that. And surprisingly, there's actually not that many miracles in it. Because I thought, you know, when I was like, okay, well, we'll just go through all the miracles, won't we? But there actually aren't many there. It's like, so what is it that John's writing? What is it in there? What's he packed into this book that is to help us to believe, that's help us to find life in Jesus, in his name? And as I went back over from the beginning of the chapter, that we come across all sorts of people. All sorts of people that God seems to want to uncover his heart for. That there's not just this one, you know, he's not just speaking to one group of people, but so many people in different situations. And the other thing about the book of John is that John's been known as the disciple that Jesus loved. Like, that's the way that he's become known as, because of the way it's written in the book and the fact that we ascribe this book to John. But it also seems that he's the one that seems to be able to unpack God's heart for everyone, not just for himself, not just that God loves him, that Jesus loves John, but actually that God's heart is for everyone, and that we all can be the one that Jesus loves. And so, as we read through John, I really think that we encounter God's heart. We encounter glory through Jesus and God's heart for us. Because Jesus is that embodiment of God and the embodiment of his heart. Like, he's the heart come down. walking on earth. And so we go back to the beginning in John 1. And we read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. This man Jesus was in the beginning. This man Jesus was the one that was with God in the beginning, was the one that through him everything was made, was the one that there's nothing on earth that doesn't speak of him and contain a bit of him. And so this man Jesus is the one that carries his heart. Because, verse 14, the Word became flesh and he made his dwelling among us. He didn't just stay in heaven just being this, you know, this Word, this part of God. He came and he made his dwelling among us. And in him we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. No one has ever seen God, verse 18, but the one and only Son who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father has made him known. John wanted us to know that this guy Jesus was it. He was God. He was God's Son. He was the one that best and fully expressed who God was, who completely lived out God's heart and made him known to us. What was first or before only known in part, we could now know completely because we could meet him. John wanted to remind us that this man Jesus is God, is God's Son, and his heart was beating for all people to give everyone a chance to know him. So, chapter after chapter, we meet that heart. We meet that heart as it interacts with people. And here is the fastest journey you're going to take through chapters 2 to 11 of John. Because in chapter 2, we meet him connecting with the ones that are caught short. They didn't have enough at the wedding. There was not enough wine. They were unprepared. How many of us have been in that place? I'm just not prepared. But Jesus meets them in that place. His heart doesn't reprimand them for not having enough. He meets them in that place. He meets us in that place. He feels our need. He meets in chapter 3 the ones that are searching, Nicodemus. He's trying to grapple with faith and religion and can't seem to line them all up and it doesn't make sense. But Jesus meets with him, even though he's scared, even though it's in secret. He meets and he gently walks through what's important in his faith, in the Jewish faith, how that connects with him as God. In chapter 4, he meets the excluded, the woman at the well, also the Roman official. You know, the people who don't fit into the society around him. The people who have to, you know, go to the well at the midday because they weren't welcome any other time. Jesus meets them in that place. He speaks to them what they need to hear. He doesn't push them aside. He meets in chapter 5 the broken that have no hope. The lame man sitting by the pool who hasn't got anyone to help him to get well, to jump in the pool when it moves. Doesn't matter if it's our mind or body or our soul. Jesus comes to that space and he meets us. He meets the common, the hungry, the multitude, The one that are just kind of following along, they don't actually know what they're following half the time. But they know they're hungry for something. He meets in chapter 7 the thirsty. The ones that are following religion. But they need more. They need the Spirit. The ones that are following the customs, like the festival of the shelters. But it's dry. It's dry religion. It's not offering them anything. And he meets them in that space. He meets the accused in chapter 8. The ones that have made mistakes. The ones that have been made scapegoats for other people's mistakes. The woman caught in adultery. He meets us there. He meets us when we can't see. The blind man in chapter 9 and the spiritually blind. He meets us when we just don't get it. He meets the ones that are following him because he is the good shepherd in chapter 10. He is the one that leads, the ones that really, really want to follow him. They want to get it right. They long to love him, but it's hard. He meets them with life of fullness, not just in part. And chapter 11, he meets the ones without any hope. The dead, Lazarus. There's no hope when you're dead, is there? But he meets them, Mary and Martha, and he defeats death. He overcomes it. You know, Jesus' heart is for all these people. Like, I can find myself in multiple of those places. I can connect with many of those people. But the main thing that I find in common with them all is that he doesn't leave them there. He doesn't just meet them in that place and leave them there. The heart of Jesus is so that they can have life. They can have life in his name. For all people, Jesus has a way forward to life. He doesn't just have empathy for us. Like, it's great to have empathy for people, but it doesn't actually do anything. It doesn't help the people in that place. It doesn't help them to move forward. Jesus has more than that. He offers more than empathy. He offers a way that we can change. It's not necessarily our circumstances that change. I mean, for some of these people, yep, he was able to help their circumstances. But more than that, he changes our heart. Because it's actually our heart that's the problem, usually. It's our heart that's got us into these situations in the first place. It's our heart that, you know, has often been the one caught short. We're not prioritizing something. It's our heart that's confused and searching. It's our heart that's often excluding ourselves, that we think we don't fit in to a world that is so randomly diverse. Of course we fit in somewhere. It's our hearts that are broken. It's our hearts that are just common. They're average, but they're hungry. It's our hearts that are thirsty when we get stuck just following traditions. It's our hearts that accuse ourselves mostly. It's our hearts that are blind to what's in front of us. It's our hearts that long to follow. But our hearts that often don't have hope. I think that's our sin. It's a horrible word, isn't it? We don't like that in the church these days. It's a thing that separates us from God. It's not an outward action. It's our heart. It's a heart that just wants to do it our own way. It's a heart that doesn't think that what God says for us is good. It's a heart that thinks that the answers around me in the world have more for me than the answers that God himself has for me. But John says the solution is Jesus. Believing in him so that our hearts can actually beat in time with his. And it's in that place that we encounter glory. When we see his heart for us, we actually encounter glory. And I remember this. It was about 28 years ago, maybe. No, more than that. I don't know. Yeah, about 28 years ago. I remember actually coming face to face with my heart and realizing it wasn't quite as good as I thought it was. And then seeing it where it really was. And at first feeling complete despair. But then in the middle of that, I saw his heart. And that's where I encounter glory. A glory that didn't matter what mine was like, just longed for it to beat with his. His heart that was full of grace, his heart that was full of truth and love and faithfulness. That's the heart that John wants to show us through all these people, through all these things that he wrote. Chapter 20, 31, these things are written. These things John chose to write that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. That's it. That's it. Like, it's so ridiculously simple. We like to complicate it. But that heart that's beating, John wrote in chapter 3, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. That's God's heart for us. Whoever we are, whatever we find ourselves in, he just wants us to believe that and follow it. Maybe the worship team or Laurie can pop up. The only thing we have to do is to believe, to dare to believe. To believe that whoever we are, God's heart is for us. That no matter where we find ourselves, God doesn't just want to love us, but he wants to change us. He wants to change what's in here. Because what's in here will give us a life and a future. When our heart beats with his. And we might look at our outward circumstances and go, but they're not changing. You know what? It doesn't actually matter what's happening on the outside. That doesn't show how much God loves us, whether he fixes our problems or not. Jesus shows how much God loves us. Our job is to believe and to follow him. And let him start challenging what's going on in here. Let him start challenging the things that I value, the things that I think are important, the things that I think define me and make me who I am. Most of it's all skewed. Most of it's been messed up by things that have been told us by other people. Even if it's our family, you know, if we take things wrong. Even if it's people that we might have looked up to in the past or thought had a voice in our world or have got a degree that can tell us what's wrong with us. It's actually only God that can do that. And he does it in here by shifting this and letting it beat the same as his. But it takes time and it takes effort. It takes effort to keep coming back and just saying that name, Jesus. When we don't understand, when it doesn't make sense, we just say his name and let him in. Break down the walls that we've put up. And just somehow, I don't know how it works. I just know that over the last 28 years, it's worked. I don't know how. It makes no sense. But somehow, he's changed stuff inside. And sometimes external stuff shifts, and sometimes it doesn't. But this has. And that's what's given me life. And so today, you know, maybe it's time for you to believe. Like, even if you've been doing this for years, but actually believe in Jesus for you. And let him to change you. Let him start changing you. Society thinks we just need to be loved how we are. Jesus wants to change us. To be like him. And that's where we find life. Best thing we do when we believe and follow him is that he's there the whole way. He said he is the good shepherd. He laid down his life for us. And he will lead us. That's the key. We just have to continue to believe. Jesus, Jesus, we just want to say your name. Jesus, help us to strip everything back. Help us to know and believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. So that we can have life in your name. Help us to just strip everything away and let you speak in our heart. To strip away religion, to strip away voices, to strip away opinions, expertise. And just let you mold us and shape us and change us and love us and define us into the people that you created us to be. Lord Jesus, we worship you.